Today is November 22, 2020, and this is the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee. I'm your chair, Nancy Saibar Anagatomi from KPFT, and I will start to call roll call. Janine Etter from KPFA. Janine, I do not hear you. Sabrina Jacobs, KPFA. Sabrina, I do not hear you. Michael Atkins from KPFK. I do not hear you. Okay, KPFK, Oscar Ulloa.
Present. I'm here.
Oscar's present. Thank you. Polina Vasiliev from KPFK.
I'm here.
Polina, present. Jack Devine from WBAI. Jack, I do not hear you. Sharon Salam. Sharon, I do not hear you. Ralph Pointner from WBAI.
Ralph here.
Oh, Ralph.
Got
here.
Me.
Thank you.
Okay. How you doing?
I'm glad to hear your voice. KPFT, Wally Dane.
Here.
Thank you, Wally. Wally's here. Nancy Saibar and I told me that's me. I'm here. Okay. And Sandy Wyman?
Present.
Sandy. Good. Sandy's present from KPFT. From WPFW is Lucille Perez?
Present.
Lucille is present. And Thomas O'Rourke?
Yes, I'm here.
Thomas is here. Present. And from WRFG, Atlanta, Georgia, Heather Gray? Heather, I do not hear you. Okay, we've got quorum. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait a minute. But we had 8. Who am I missing? Sandy.
Yes.
Wally, Oscar. Oscar. Wally. Oh, I just forgot to check off Wally and Sandy. Okay, now we have 8 people. We have a quorum. Okay. Okay.
Nancy, it's Sabrina. I'm here.
Oh,
I'm here. Yeah. Sabrina Jacobs. Hey, how are you?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We have 9 people now on our meeting, and we're going to start the roll call. Yeah, quorum is established. All right. Next is the minutes of October 25th. I sent them in the early morning. Let's delay approval until we have time to read it and digest it. Shall we do that? No objections? Okay, let's do that. All right. So I'm sorry, I did not send an agenda. And does anyone have something they would like to put on the agenda? No. Okay.
Hi, this is Sandy, yes. If we could, just a brief motion to collect the top 3 funding programs from each of our signals. Thank you.
Collect the top funding programs.
Three top funding programs from each of our signals.
Yes. Of each signal.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is Sandy's agenda item. Okay. We'll let's see. We have also the motions that we are working on. I sent a rough draft of the one for requirement of news department at each station. And if they don't have the money, then okay. Janine logged on and she heard we had quorum, so she logged off. She has to work at the KPFA. Okay. Thank you, Janine. All right. She just texted me. Okay. So what was I saying? It was about requiring that motion. I sent a draft to work on, and we were working on that at the end of the last October 25th meeting, and I proposed that we work on that. I sent everybody. And then another motion was Pacifica in the Streets. I tried to craft a motion. This is a draft, rough draft, and I had sent that, and we might be able to work on those 2 things. Is it okay with everybody? And can we add this new business of Sandy's to collect the top 3 I don't know if everybody knows what the top three funding shows are, but anyway, well, people can be asked. Is there any objection? Oh, hearing no objections. Okay, those three things are on the agenda. And if we get through, we can work on something else as well and get through with these. All right, I would like to hear the last motion that we were working on at the last meeting about, you know, some stations run out of money and then they close their news department. And this has just happened at one of our California stations. And we all were discussing at the end of the last meeting how important a news team is, a news department is, and that we thought it should be required. I looked up on the mission statement, and it does back up that. At the last paragraph of the mission statement, we are mandated to provide news to the community and keep them informed. So I don't think we have to add in this motion, recommend the PND, recommend to the IED, to recommend to the GM to have a news department. And if they don't have the money to pay them, then organize a volunteer news. And at KPFT, we do have volunteer. I think there's three of them. They have a news show 1 hour a week on Friday. How are the situations in all the other stations? I think KPFA has a robust news department that is funded. And I think at WPFW, Thomas reported, isn't that right, Thomas, that you have buttressing, you have volunteers helping the news people, right?
The news department is about, I think, about 2.5 positions, maybe. I think it's 1 full-time and 3 part-time. There is some, you know, there is some volunteer participation with, well, with various shows. I don't know how much the news department itself has, but it's certainly something we've been trying to get them to do more of, and you know, even an internship program with some of the local colleges. Does that exist in another network or another signal area? You know, where you have sort of links to the local colleges of communication or you know, journalism.
Well, that's a good question. Okay, you want to take turns, everybody? Let's go KPFA. I'm sorry, a little bit excited here. KPFA, Berkeley. Sabrina, you want to ask, report what you know. I mean, you may not know this, but what you know about your news department content. The reporters.
Next to the cookies. Oh, yeah.
Hello? Sabrina? Sabrina? Oh, dear. Did we lose her? Okay, we'll go to the next person. Oh, she's gone. Can you hear Sabrina? Okay, never mind.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Is that Sabrina? Oh, yes. Oh, good. Okay, I thought we lost you. Would you like to... Thomas is asking the committee how they're doing with their news department. Do they have, like, college students, or is it anybody from the public can train and become helping with the news department, or is this a question that's difficult?
I'm not in, I haven't been in the news department for years, but it's basically set up with folks from whoever gets accepted, and it's not necessarily linked with Berkeley High or City of Berkeley College or whatever, or UC Berkeley. So there aren't those connections at all. I think they've tried in the past, but it's not something that they do. But a majority or all of the stringers are volunteers. And we have a news director, two news directors, one in the morning, like starts at about 3 in the morning, and then one in the evening that closes it out with Pacific Evening News. And Janine would be able to speak better to this than I do because she's actually she actually works for the news department as a board op. So.
Yes. Oh, thanks. That's good. I did not know we had two news directors. And Janine had told us people could email into the station news, and that the decision to air it or not is made by Eileen Affender, is that right? And another person. Two people make the decision.
Nancy, excuse me, could somebody mute, please?
Could somebody mute?
Yeah, I can't.
Talk. Yeah, if you're not speaking, mute.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, are you finished, Sabrina, or shall we go to the next station?
Yeah, you can go to the next station. That's fine. No problem. Yeah.
Okay. Paulina or Oscar, would you like to say the type of people that are in your new? You have zero news now, or what's going on?
I mean, this is Paulina. I can comment briefly. Oscar has a sore throat today, so I don't think he is up for speaking too much. But currently we are taking Pacifica Evening News for the full hour, 6 p.m. Pacific time. So that means that we're piping in our news from Berkeley. That's the situation since our paid members were laid off due to the need for budget issues. And before we had stringers, obviously volunteer stringers. I don't think we had an actual training program or any kind of partnerships with the high school, colleges, or universities. That's always an idea that is floating out there. But of course, it needs to take some organization. Outreach, contacts, and then formalizing it, right, so that kids and students in general can get credit and things like that. So I think that used to exist, from what I understand, same as what Sabrina mentioned, but not lately. So at this point, we don't think we do news locally at all, from what I understand, currently. That's all I know.
Okay, so nothing local and not even volunteers. So.
Well, here's the thing. Our 6 o'clock news come from Berkeley, right? That's we take that from Berkeley, and then at 8 o'clock there is a volunteer. Obviously, Fernando Velasquez and Norma Martinez, Informativo Pacifica in Spanish. That's a half hour, all volunteer produced newscast, daily newscast from Monday through Thursday. And Fridays in the archives, and that's been like that for years now. So we do have a successful, stable model of, and quite successful, by the way. I was looking at the streaming and download data in our archives. Our Spanish half hour competes robustly with Pacifica Evening News for a number of downloads and hours listened. Now I think my report is complete.
Okay, thank you very much. I remember last month you said the Informativo Pacifica is a sort of an international news as well, from all volunteer reporters all over the world. That is very unique. That's mm-hmm. Wish we had that show on our station.
Okay. Oh, by the way, let me mention that. Actually, I talked to Bobby Modad the other day, and mm-hmm. he said that you guys used to take Informativo Pacifica on KPFT and stopped doing so when supposedly Informativo Pacifica stopped producing. I checked in with Informativo, and they say, Fernando and the folks, they say that they never stopped producing. So whatever happened there, whatever reason it was for canceling or not taking Informativo anymore at Houston, I believe it, you know, it might not be relevant anymore. And I think I told Bobby that. And so, given that, especially now with the lockdowns and the building not very accessible in Houston, it makes sense that not a lot of folks are producing. That's one good show too. I'm sure somebody can schedule if there's space for it and it was popular and it continues being so. Yeah.
Oh well, that's good to know. I thought it stopped in 2009, I thought, and it was called Noticiero Pacifica at that time. Different name, but same programmer, same basically the same. Okay, so it never stopped producing then?
No, it never stopped producing.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Okay, so...
I have a question for Paulina. Paulina, I thought last time you said... that show, Información Pacifica, airs early in the morning, isn't it?
No.
It's late at night?
It airs at 8. Here it airs at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And that's right.
Okay, so it's being produced the entire day before the 8 o'clock airtime,
correct. Correct, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. It gets,
okay.
Yeah. I participate, I contribute to it sometimes so I can... attest to that. They close right before air.
All right. Okay. Well, that might be something we could carry. You know, late at night. I don't know, but
cool.
I don't know.
Spanish is good, but tape. just
yes.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I said obviously it's in Spanish.
Yes.
And I said, you know, it's solid, reliable. They don't miss a day of production. And also knowing that you, especially in Houston, because you do have Spanish language programming, it would actually make sense to schedule it somewhere in, you know, at the beginning of a say Spanish block. Start out with the news like good practice dictates.
Okay. At KPFT, Sandy, do you know about the news show that we have? It's called The People's News. Are you able to catch that? Or Sandy still there? Sandy? I don't hear him. Okay, Sandy, are you muted? All right.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I'm muted. I'd rather defer to Wally James on that. I think he's the guy to bring that.
Okay, Wally?
Yes. I don't listen to it all the time, but I've listened to it some. And like you say, there's three different people that do it. And Brad Richard is one of them. And he's been a longtime volunteer at KPFT, and he's the one I've talked to mostly about it. But, it, you know, they really try to, you know, do what they can.
Yes, but your show also, you do news as well.
Right, we have a news segment. Larry does our news segment.
That's on Thursday night. And
yeah.
Maybe some of our other talk shows are doing some kind of news, like Mike Honick on Monday, Think Wing Radio, and Egberto Vives on Tuesday. I'm trying to think of some of those. So we have, but not just dedicated to news only. Okay, is it the People's News? Okay, BAI, Ralph, who else is here?
For sure.
I think you're the only one.
Yes, Ralph here. BAI.
Yes.
But the sad thing is,
go ahead.
Okay. The sad thing is, we did have a news program, but something happened between the management and the young man doing the program, and we do not have a news program. That's an issue we're still dealing with.
Oh, wow. Hard to hear that.
The
young
person who did it was a long-time person who was very active with Pacifica, but Paul DiRienzo was working with the Manhattan Neighborhood Network, and he was doing two. So the big question is to whether people in Pacifica were going to have anything to do with Manhattan Neighborhood Network, because Manhattan Neighborhood Network is in position to pay Pacifica's bill big time.
Wow.
And so that is becomes a big fight, and everything related to Manhattan Neighborhood Network is confused. As for me, I say to save BAI, we must work with Manhattan Neighborhood Network, and we don't lose anything. But the people who say no don't understand that you write contracts. They say, if you join, you lose everything. And I'm saying, gee, you know, did you ever hear of a lawyer writing a contract before you sign anything, before you do anything? They don't want to hear that. I don't understand it. Except, and I'll be very blunt, I think there are elements within Pacifica that want to see Pacifica go down. And they just keep showing up, and for no rationale, they misstate issues. And I'm saying, wait a minute, everybody reads, writes, and counts. How can you misstate an issue? Say you're on the other side of an issue. Say you disagree with an issue. Do not misstate what the issue is. But there are those who consistently misstate the issues. And it's going to be deadly for Pacifica as well as BAI.
Point of information?
Certainly.
Ralph, I certainly agree with that last statement. There are people that willfully misstate positions. But could you give us some background info on this Manhattan Neighborhood Network? What is that?
Manhattan Neighborhood Network is a law. There's a law, communication law, that says if you have a communication element in any area, the government must have a subsistence, if you would say, money that they have to spend on community radio. So it would be a perfect thing for WBAI to not only partner, but to have a contract with Manhattan Neighborhood Network. Now, like Mimi Rosenberg, several people on BAI are also on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, just like Paul DiRienzo was on both and gave us exposure. But there are those saying they don't like the people who have a history in Manhattan Neighborhood Network that they don't want to work with. But I say there are contracts. You make an agreement, a legal agreement as to what you want. There are those people who oppose to have anything to do with Manhattan Neighborhood Network. When Manhattan Neighborhood Network, according to law, will need to give Pacifica the amount of money that would take us out of debt. To me, it's a no-brainer. But we have elements who say they don't like the people, I won't name names, who have been with Pacifica, are now with Manhattan Neighborhood Network. There are questions of issues of women's rights, people who were fired from various stations for incorrect contact with women, work with Manhattan Neighborhood Network, and therefore they say Manhattan Neighborhood Network should not have hired them. And you see how it messes with the issue. And I only fear that Pacifica or BAI will go down without these funds. And people are leaning on principle, which I agree with, but it's going to kill us all over the network. We're losing money. We don't have the money. And I would rather not go out and work with someone who has questions of improprieties around women. I just say slap the shit out of him, you know, when he gets out of line, if that really is the issue. But, you know, it's very difficult to convince people when they're dug in. And so we do not have a media. We're going to have to deal with that. If I made myself clear there. Hello?
Thanks, Ralph. Sorry, yes. Madam Chair. Sorry.
Yeah, Sabrina, go ahead.
Sabrina for the stack. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with Ralph. 110%. But when you go into negotiations, you have a lawyer and you set up a contract. And I don't see anything wrong with what we're, you know, that particular proposal. It would, as far as programming is concerned, and for all intents and purposes of this conversation for this committee, there will be, you know, some change to programming. But, you know, again, just like Ralph said, that that's where you set up that contract in regards to programming as far as WBAI is concerned. So, yeah, I agree with you, Ralph. I just wanted to put that out there on the record. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Ralph, did you have some more? Did I interrupt you?
No, you did not. Oh. I just say, are there any questions beyond that?
Yes.
Go ahead, Paulina.
I have a question. More comments about improprieties and Me Too issues. If that were really the case, WBAI would not have Leonard Lopez as part of it.
There you go.
That was a good one. Nope. That is a good one. There you go. Yep. Agreed.
I agree. I agree 100%. But you see what happens. We have problems here. We have to solve all of the problems. And I hope it doesn't keep us from making an agreement with Manhattan Neighborhood Network. And I don't want to say money supersedes all. But at this point, we're going to have to deal with that one way or the other. We're going to have to get that money, or we're all going to be shut down. Because, you see, my thought is Pacifica, and the only reason why I got involved with Pacifica is because it is the center of communications. It does have the potential of pulling all of Pacifica out of our economic problems. But people, I don't know, seem to be dragging their feet who do not understand. Now, I understand because when my dear sister Lynn was in the death camp, I got 15 minutes every week on Pacifica, on BAI, to speak at what I wanted to say without restrictions. When I was in a fight with the lawyers, the government, the whole thing, Pacifica saved my butt. And when Lynn got turned down for the second time, I was in Washington, D.C. in front of the White House. And when she called me 10 o'clock in the morning with the bad news, and she says, here's what I want you to do. Get back to New York City and where the center of communications is and speak to everyone, not only Pacifica, not only VAI, but everyone who would have me. And I did that. And Lynn came home. And so we must recognize where New York is, what it stands for, the people that we should have reached. We have reached them once upon a time and then let them go. They're still there. We can still grab them. We can still save, as the young woman said earlier on, we can still save the world. But it starts with us in New York, where the media is. Further questions. Don't raise any more strange issues. Leonard Lopez. Okay. Sorry about laughing.
Yeah, for members who don't know Leonard Lopez, I think he was accused or maybe convicted of some kind of sexual harassment and then at another station. But he was hired back at, is he being paid? He's back on BAI.
He was at WNYC. He was at WNYC, and then he, I think there was a sexual harassment claim put in. He was subsequently let go, and then I guess a couple of years later he was picked up at WBAI, and he's been at WBAI probably about 3 years now, something like that.
Sorry, this is Sabrina. I apologize.
No, thank you. Thank you. That's better. I have not listened to his show, so I don't know anything. I can't say anything. But it is emotional. When I hear people talk about M&M, either they want it or they're like, oh, terrible. And it's so, I don't hear real true, I just hear very emotional reaction. Never. So I want to hear reasons. I wish this that they would make a contract or even a, don't they have a preliminary, is there such a thing like a sample preliminary contract to look at and then later on negotiate and change little details? Don't people do that in business?
We've been going through that, but that other side says they don't want to talk about it. And it's like 51-49, and we're stuck. You know, there were people who refused to come to meetings for a year. We couldn't even have a meeting. And so have a meeting, we couldn't solve anything. And so Pacifica went down daily, and they claim that they are true members for community radio. And I'm saying, and they boycotted the meeting because they didn't have the majority. And when we called, we wrote a letter to the National. Their answer was, solve your own problems rather than you can get something done without a quorum. That's what we ask for. And so I'm saying, we got a lot of problems here. Who would say something like that? The National will say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. This is what happened. And so we're still trying to come out of that. We're in a hole. Everyone, who would predict COVID-19? There were, Ralph Shulman predicted it 10 years ago, Ralph and Maya taking aim. They did a whole program on the coming pandemic that America was not prepared for. But Pacifica wanted to change their time. You see the problems we have, even with successful programs, there was an element that changed it. We had Bernard White raising money in the morning, $1,000 in an hour. They got rid of him. Here we are. So now we have to try to make a comeback from that. As I say, there are elements that are working against the success of Pacifica. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the question.
Thomas, to the set.
Go ahead, Thomas.
Ralph, is Gary Null still on your air, right? Daily News?
Gary Null was on. He does some wonderful programs, but Gary Null, he had made the statement that we could not have underwriting, and he said that underwriting was what Manhattan Neighborhood Network amounted to. Not true. And Gary Null had said he was going to quit the program if a certain other program wasn't cut. So I said, now there's great hypocrisy here. Gary Null is a small-time underwriter. How can this man dictate what's on Pacifica with the amount of money he has? And so I say, if this is really what you want, give me the big-time underwriter who can write off our bills, and then let's fight with them. But, you know, Manhattan Network is not an underwriter. It's a whole different situation, and we can write contracts. And so Gary Null does have a good program, but there are certain things about Gary Null I am extremely unhappy about, but I would not discuss it here. I would discuss it with Mr. Null. But, see, we have these kind of problems with, with people and elements. How do we deal with people? So-called human elements. It's a tough one, and we must overcome it.
Ralph, I asked a question. This is Thomas again, because at one point I heard Jim Dingman say that, he was the biggest fundraiser for a number of years for the station, the single largest.
He is.
But,
you're right.
I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, I'd like to investigate that more myself, the Manhattan Network.
Do that. Do that. Look at it. It's a mixed bag. If, I think that's the expression. A mixed bag. Good and bad.
Okay. Thank you.
Wow. Well, thanks again.
Thank you. So it's money that they have to spend. It's like at the end of the year they have to spend, otherwise they don't get it. That was the thing.
But I can't hear you, but that's the issue. And we could take advantage of that.
And we could what?
We could take advantage of the money that has to be spent. It should be spent with us.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Manhattan Neighborhood Network. They should spend it with us.
Well,
okay, I don't want to open a bag of worms. You ask a question, I give you the best answer I could possibly give.
Oh, thank you, God. I understand a whole lot more now.
Okay.
Couldn't figure out why y'all couldn't make quorum for like almost 2 years. I couldn't understand what was going on. People standing outside the door and not coming. I thought they must hate each other a lot or have some.
There is a lot of hate, but they boycotted the meeting. Would not come and sit down and discuss anything. And so we never had a quorum to have an issue discussed. And so for me, it's like have a position, state it clearly, and justify it. To say I'm not coming and I'm not talking while the station is going bankrupt and we can make no decisions is not it's not nice. We can fight, but let's fight nice so as not to hurt the program or the station or the network.
Well, I remember my other question. Why weren't they simply thrown off if they don't attend, you know, unexcused absences, once they pile up, they can be ejected from any committee, can't they?
We tried. We wrote letters to the National. And the National, you know, Pacifica National Board said no.
Oh, I see.
Because some of these people are on the Pacifica National Board. And as you know, there was a fight between the East and the West Coast. Pacifica, for years this goes on. And, you know, and then relationships and allies and enemies, you couldn't cut through this with a knife. And I'm saying, what in the world is going on? And people say, well, you know, in the last issue 8 years ago, this person was against something. Holy moly. I don't want to know about 8 years ago. This side was different, and you couldn't put people together. It's like but we got to do it. We have to make it happen. And I think the idea that we're going out of business may help to energize those with old grudges, old fights, might overcome them to save the station. This is our only hope. Any more questions? Any more worms that you would like to unbag?
This is Paulina. Well, I do have a question.
Go ahead, Paulina.
As far as programming, Ralph, I know I probably would need to do my own research to have an idea about that, but maybe you can just briefly comment on whether the Manhattan Neighborhood Network's programming editorial line, you know, in the style of programming fits with the Pacifica mission, because I think that would be the main question. And the other one is, have you opened it up to bidding from other similar ventures or media companies that would be interested? Because, you know, you're in the first, the biggest radio market in the country, and it's a shame that so few listeners are actually being reached, right? A shame.
Yes.
echoing your sentiment that it you know, it's almost like you have to try really hard to make your, you know, to fail this bad, right? So, meaning, but perhaps there are, we know for sure that there are those who are interested in having Pacifica fail, or at least Pacifica in its conception as a network, right? So, go ahead.
Yeah, well, there was, if I may, there was an effort to reach out to another organization who said they were interested in joining with Pacifica. And then when we looked at that organization, it would make you choke. And I'm saying, holy mackerel, who came up with this situation? Who? And we actually had a meeting with these people. But when you looked up their background, it was like, oh my God. And then when I approached the person who had arranged the meeting, they merely said, I didn't know. And I'm saying, okay, now we know. Let us move on. This group is not to be considered a right-wing, anti-gay, outrageous, you know, like a network. They had the money, but their history was such that you could not associate with. And the person who called the meeting, Bertold, did not know. And you know, like you say, oh, that's a good excuse. You didn't know. Now you know. Now let's stop talking about it. And so, yes, we're scrambling around. There are myriads of problems with Pacifica. And if I may say so, they're all personal and emotional. Not real. Revenge. You know, you did it to me 8 years ago, and I'm never going to forget it. That sort of thing. I don't like you. I don't know. I just don't like you. That it just breaks. But if you say why, they'll sit down and give you 50 reasons. Some of them are legit, but they must be overcome and say, okay, you're right about that. This person does act in a certain manner. It's not proper. It's not helpful. But we just have to overcome that. I remember in the struggles in the 60s, a woman said to me, how in the world did you get these people, these diverse people, to work together? And I said, we had a meeting, and everybody stated their position, and some people had to take low. And when I say take low, can you imagine a march through Harlem where the white people had to march in the rear? So, if that's what it takes to get you there, we had good white people. Lynn Stewart said, well, if this is what it takes, I'm going to lead the white people in the back of the march. You see, we don't, listen, you laugh. This is real. We got things done. But we're still in that situation where people have things real and imagined that we have to overcome, because they were, I do believe they would rather see the station fail than make an agreement. This is where we are in Pacifica and BAI. This is where we are. I'm sorry to say something like that, but night and day, at home and away, I'm on this, as Strom Thurmond said back in 1965 when he tapped the mic, says, how you work this here sheen? So I'm on this here sheen that they call cell phones and computers, and trying to figure out, how we get something done here. So another day on this here sheen. Hopefully we have more success today on this sheen than they had before. How is it that nobody thought that was funny? Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Hello?
We hear you.
You know, yes, Strom Thurmond, right? Am I too old? Am I speaking of another age?
We're laughing, Ralph, but we're on mute.
Yeah. Are you quoting a Klansman?
No, I'm just saying, you know, in that age, and he was the head of the funding for the military. Very powerful man.
Right.
But the most outrageous, certainly, racist, and he controlled this. He was at the controls of this America. And when he was talking, like I said, I'm talking, I guess, before many of you were born. And when he got on and he tapped and it was on television and it was a microphone, and he says, "How you work this here machine?" And machine is what he meant. He called the microphone a machine because it was, I guess, it was beyond his technical awareness. And so I'm saying, working 24 hours with this here machine, this cell phone, this computer that is beyond my technical skills, trying to get something done. Thank you for your time.
You're managing.
Thank you. Okay, so, but WPFW, I think someone would summarize. I think you did tell us a little bit, your five-minute at the top of the hour news. You want to describe either Lucy or Thomas? About your news people.
Thomas, why don't you share with them?
Thomas, I think you're muted. I don't hear his voice.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Like I said before, that's my understanding of the news department, and we're trying to help him out. But, you know, it's funny. I had another question about, but, you also asked about the top three program, you know, in terms of fundraising, and I really could not answer that, but I suspect that they are, you know, the weekend music programs and not public affairs, although, you know, we do have public affairs in the morning. And I've compared our, by the way, our grid to some of the others, and many of you have much more public affairs than we do. And I think it's, you know, the willingness to take, you know, more syndicated programs from other places. I don't know why they've decided at PFW not to take. We take, you know, one or two things like Margaret Prescott and, you know, but a lot of the old, like, I see Mitch Jeserich, for example, is carried in L.A. and Berkeley every day, and she stopped carrying him because he wouldn't fundraise for us. But in any case, like I said, the news department, Askia Mohammed, longtime program, you know, news director. There's two part-time people. I don't know what their hours are, and there might be a third. But, you know, we're trying to help them beef it up. But we're kind of in a limbo because our general manager is on, you know, extended medical leave, and the interim program director just became the program director earlier in the year, and we are having some serious issues with her. And so there's, you know, we're kind of in a limbo. We're in a limbo. Anyway, go ahead.
Nancy, point of order from Paulina. Hey.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind everybody, without personalizing, that it's important to avoid personnel conversations on the air. We're a committee of the national board, and it's important to not necessarily go into details or name names of specific staff members, because that could be that could open us to absolute litigation. We are responsible for that, and as far as my understanding is of our duty. And please correct me, Nancy, if I'm wrong.
Yes, okay. I apologize for that. I did want to say this. I was pointed out by someone more experienced on our board that we compared the PFW's annual budget is only about $1.2 million. And we more or less make that. But, you know, we might be short one fund drive, or, you know, and make it up in another. But I was, for example, told that the LA station is apparently three times our budget, except they don't make the entire three times, and hence, you know, your recent financial difficulties. So I'm getting the impression that while I study this, you know, there's a huge difference between, for example, the Berkeley station and the Houston station, and now the East Coast stations, and they seem to have a huge, you know, there's a big discrepancy in either the amount they're able to raise based on where they are, or you know, somehow their budget, you know, they have much bigger budgets than some of the other stations. I just wondered how and why that is. I'll leave it at that. If it's not convenient to talk about that now, then, you know, let's move on to wherever. Go ahead, Chairman.
Okay. All right. So we went through the your question about the news structure of each station. Okay, we're all needing help. KPFA seems to be doing very well, and they have a training program too. Boy, there's so many questions I'd like to ask, but I don't think it's proper here. Okay, so next, what we were talking about at the end of the last meeting last month about we should have a motion to the PMB to mandate that each station must have a news team, even if it's volunteer, like they don't have enough money to pay salaries. Like KPFA has a paid staff for their news team. So I sent out a rough draft of a motion, and I base it on the mission statement, which is at the – I think I'm repeating myself. Did I say this at the beginning? I think I did already. So I'd like to have some input, like, you know, oh, doesn't feel good, or what do you want to change, or what you would like to put, or is it ready, or can we do it? You know, Heather was very – she's from WRFG. She was saying that volunteer – news people or volunteer programmers for the news it's better. And she did not say why they were better, if they were volunteer rather than paid. But you see, when a financial crunch at KPFK, you've lost Ernesto Arce, who was there a long time, and you don't have anybody now. Now's the time for KPFK to have a volunteer news team, right?
Go ahead, Paulina. I almost wanted to say wrong. Well, actually, there's a little bit of an issue here in the following. Since we're in negotiations with the union, it's common courtesy not to replace if we claim, which we have, and I think correctly, that we had to lay off our paid news staff in order to, because we couldn't pay them, pretty much, then we are expected not to replace them with volunteers, because that is not well looked upon by unions, and that would hurt our position in negotiations with them, because we are renegotiating our contract. Oh. Probably, you see, so that may be the reason why there hasn't been and won't be for a while, at least for a few months, any willingness of in general to to start a volunteer news team, just for that reason. As a matter of fact, I believe that our interim executive director has instructed us not to air any volunteer produced news at the same time during the hour when our paid staff used to produce them, for that reason, because of these more delicate issues with the union negotiations. So that's my main concern about this motion at the time. Perhaps it would be appropriate later, once
contracts are renegotiated and once we're building ourselves, especially at KPFK, right? But maybe that's, which is, you know, which is why there are considerations here at stake. I would say we would need to consult with counsel, especially though, you know, I forget his name, the one that is our labor counsel who is involved in the negotiations with the union. So all of those issues need to be taken into consideration. So I would be cautious for that reason.
Okay. So you have to get the news out. That's the mission, in the mission statement. So you've got to do it another way.
The other way? Yep, that's right. Maybe, you know, and I would say maybe what we can think about is building a team of volunteers to do reporting for social media, build up our social media presence, our multimedia platform. We have a YouTube channel that is not being taken advantage of. Maybe that's where reports should be published from. From stringers and volunteers around the country. It could be national. It could be we could have local sub channels, things like that. But as far as mandating, first of all, the motion, the way it reads right now, it's not mandating. We're not suggesting. Well, first of all, we're not mandating anything, but we're not suggesting that the KPFK 6 o'clock news be now immediately produced by a team of volunteers, right? It's a bit more nuanced than that. It's just suggesting that we who would be addressing it to? Would it be to the program directors? Nancy, I'm trying to understand also a little bit the concept of
okay.
it.
Okay,
yeah.
It's not clear. All right, I thought it would be to the stations. I think I wrote the word the stations, but actually it should be the
Right. Otherwise it's not implementable. If you direct the stations to do that, well, who at the stations would do that, right? Who is responsible? I think we would need to be more clear on how this would be carried out. Who would be responsible for implementing this initiative, which I think is a very good one, and I agreed with during our last conversation, I agreed entirely with Heather that there are successful models of doing news with volunteers. It's just I would say the wording of it, the chain of command or the responsibility. Let's say, who do we hold accountable later, right, for having or not having implemented the directive? Should the National Board approve our motion? Should we approve a motion of this nature, and should the National Board take it up and approve it, right? Then, you know, who is, what's the mechanism? It's not with the intention to micromanage, but rather to just make it clear, right? Make it workable, not just, okay, We passed a motion with good intentions, but then how is it implemented? So that's pretty much what I'm thinking.
I see. So,